I want to share something that has been on my heart a couple of years that I carry around with me when I speak in Tanzania, that challenges me, has been challenging me more recently, I suppose, for in one way, all my life. Scriptures that stir you and keep stirring you and keep stirring you in a certain direction. And also because the requests that I'm getting for prayer sort of outnumber other requests on the website. And so I have started to do something on prayer using verses that have spoken to me over the years. So all these things are on my heart. And considering Charles mentioned prayer last week, sort of maybe tie in with that, we shall see. But that's what's on my heart, and that's why I want to share it with you. I'll start with one of my favorite verses in Acts 4:13. You will know this, Peter and John arrested. Had to give account of themselves. And it says, now when they saw, this is the priests, those questioning them, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And it is a marvelous thing. I love this verse. I love preaching this verse in East Africa. Simply because the idea of status, of position, of title is so very important. You know, you go there and immediately you're an international gospel preacher. It's so important, status and position. And that's why I love this word. When they saw the boldness and perceived that they were unlearned. No formal education, no higher education, and ignorant men, they marveled, and well they might. It is a wonderful thing, blessed. He said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hidden, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and revealed them unto babes. Unto those who simply come without any demands, come humbly as children. In that same passage in Matthew 11, he says, "For come unto me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." In other words, the basis of revelation from God is not intellectual. The basis of revelation, of understanding the things of God and this gospel, the basis of those things are spiritual, moral. The content, the spiritual content of our hearts determines what we receive and how much we receive. It's wonderful. Available to anyone and everyone. I tell them, you don't have to go to Bible school. They think they have to go to Bible college or Bible school and that'll make them a man of God. What a delusion. It is an illusion, a delusion. A Bible life is the Bible school. It is absolutely true. Bible school cannot make you a man or a woman of God. It is your relationship, your personal response to the Lord Jesus Christ that determines what you and I shall be in this life. And in Tanzania, I say, Bwana Sifiwe, praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing. They marveled, and it's a marvelous thing. They couldn't understand it. But it says, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. I think that's a wonderful statement, a wonderful verse. How can these men speak with such power, with such boldness, without education, how can they do these things? Ah, they've been with Jesus. And that must be the foundation and the background of all preaching and speaking. That's what I try to emphasize to pastors out there who seek and enjoy position and authority. The people need to know, when you get up and speak, they need to know that you have been with Jesus. It's a great need in this day. For me, the background of all this, we live in the days as it was in the day of Samuel, the word of God was rare, was precious, and there was no open vision. The amount of preaching one hears that comes out of human conceptions, humanistic teaching, etc., etc., there's no time to give examples. Where are the men? How many are the men that will seek God, wait on God, spend time with God, cut across their daily routine to find God in the way they need to provide food for the people of God? I tell the pastors there, I said, they will know. Even if your congregation is not very spiritual, they will know. Dear pastor, dear preacher, dear speaker, they will recognize implicitly, many of them. They'll be polite, they'll be respectful to you as a pastor, but they will recognize that you haven't been with Jesus if you just give them some kind of concocted sermon. For me, these things are very meaningful, very deep, very precious, and for me, the need of the hour. This book is not a textbook. It's not a university book. It's not an academic book that I absorb and to convey information. We are not conveying facts. We are not conveying information. I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what Paul said, didn't he? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. I came not with excellency of speech and the wisdom of men declaring to you the power of God. I was with you in fear and trembling, but I determined. He'd just come from Ephesus. Is there a link? Ephesus, where he quoted from some of their writers, secular writers. People speculate about this. But so after Ephesus, he comes to Corinth. He says, when I came to you, I determined to know nothing, 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 nothing save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Jesus Christ and Him crucified must come through the preaching, through the speaking. It's not, I wish I had the words to convey what was in my heart. Men borrowing shamelessly from the world of commerce and business. I'm really excited about what God's going to do. Really excited. No, you're not. You're excited about what you're going to do. Now, I could speak just a long time in explaining that. Men spending a lot of time reading a lot of books, got big offices nowadays, spend a lot of money in getting an office, researching this, researching that, communing with the thoughts, communing with humanistic teachings that are coming into the church. All you need, this book, maybe a table, a chair, and somewhere to put your knees when you pray. That's all you need. Surely that's all we need. To know Christ and Him crucified. Not just in terms of words, but in terms of living. So this is what Peter says. So what I'm trying to do, or the things that this is the way it developed in my own heart, sort of preaching and praying, in 1 Peter 4. As every man, verse 10, 1 Peter 4:10, if you want to turn to it. As every man has received the gift, so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So we are to receive something. In Acts 6, when they needed to distribute to the widows, and there was a difficulty about that, they had to settle that. Peter said, it's not right that we should serve tables, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. We will give ourselves continually to prayer, to prayer, to prayer, to prayer. The thing that brings to death, that cut across and slays all the things we want to be doing, are doing, would like to do, our relaxation, that very thing that wants to cut across daily life, he says, we're going to give ourselves continually to pray and to the ministry of the word. Thank you. I can't see how anything or much can be done without this disposition, without this fire in the bowels and the hearts of men and women. Continually to prayer, giving myself to the Lord, receiving from the Lord, and ministering as a steward of what He gives. As you know, surely it is commonplace to spend time with the Lord, to count this word as precious, more precious than gold, as David says, more precious than all the riches of the world, to spend time before God, with Christ, eating and drinking, absorbing this word. In a way that touches you, and you share that. 5 minutes of someone sharing what God has given them as food, and they share, they break that to others, that's food, isn't it? Isn't it? One wants what comes from Him. Even if one has to die to get it. And one does. What greater? How many greater deaths are there than praying, making time to pray in one's life? For many, it would be death. It cuts across what we're doing. It cuts across what we want to do. It cuts across what we find fulfilling. What we're doing, what we want to do, resulting in tiredness, can so become the norm. Praying can almost become, I ought to pray, like an interruption, unwelcome interruption. Or so not used to it that it might even seem an unwelcome, boring interruption to the things in my mind that suddenly pop up. If any man speak, next verse, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God gifts, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. I don't have to strive to make a sermon to impress you, do I? Glory be to God. Wonderful Jesus. It's Him. It's all Him. Let Him speak as the oracle of God. That's what He says. If we speak as the... That oracle here wouldn't mean inspirational. Not adding something new. But we so give ourselves to Him. Spending time with Him, seeking Him, wanting Him, loving Him, praying for His will and His glory to be done. This is not a textbook, it is the Word of God. Come with reverence, hunger, be fed, and communicate, share the Word of God. That's what it's meant to be. Speak as the oracle of God. Now one could run a mile, couldn't one now? This is basic. This is the basic teaching. I tell them all, you know, I speak to congregations outside in Tanzania. I say, you will know if your pastor has been spending time with Jesus Christ. You will know. It'll come through. Our lifestyle comes through our preaching and speaking, without a doubt. I'm talking about fundamental things. Obviously, God can give a word. We have open worship. There are words that come, a gifting, so forth. But go with me in the context I'm speaking. They'll know if you spend time with God. They'll know if you've got this from God. I don't think I'm imagining it. Oh, that's what my prayer is. My prayer is that God will raise up laborers. Paul said, all seek their own. I have none like Timothy who genuinely cares, who cares of the things of Christ. Now, Peter was an apostle. I'm not an apostle. Maybe I could think what we read about Peter doesn't apply to me or you. They recognized that they'd been with Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful verse? A wonderful statement. I think it is. I listen to things. It seems almost like one in a million. Where are these men that are lying on the floor, calling out to God for what we need today? Meditate upon these things, he says, Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:15. Meditate, meditate, meditate upon these things. I mean, this verse, of course, spoke to me years ago. Doesn't matter if you have a job or not. I don't have a job. I had a job. Meditate upon these things. Meditate upon these things. It's more precious than gold. More precious than anything I can attain in this world, in this life. Him and Him only. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. That's what we say. He is more than life to me. More than my wife, more than my children. That's how I want to sing it. That's how I think sometimes when I sing. Yeah, I've got to mean it. He's looking at my heart. Meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly to them. Not in one ear, out the other. Give yourself wholly to them. Spend time with him who died for you. They recognized that they'd been with Jesus. Meditate upon these things, give yourself wholly to them, that your profiting may appear to all. That's what the Word of God says. So give yourself to God. So give yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. So take a knife and cut time out of other things. So love him, so seek him, so meditate upon these things that they become part of your lifestyle that change you. We sing from glory to glory. Don't change from glory into glory. We sing that. We love to sing it. And it's meant to be real. My son was blessed. I wasn't there by what you spoke. But I heard this refrain. It's got to be real. It's got to be real. At some stage, it's got to be real. It's got to happen. It was something like that, wasn't it? Yes. It was. Boomerang. Heaven on earth. This morning, for me, heaven on earth, it is by his blood. Two great things he's done. I didn't know what to do with myself. Felt in the Holy of Holies. Wanted to fall on my knees. He's all in all to me. He's everything. He's meant to be our all in all. Nothing else should matter in this life. That your profiting should appear to all. They see that you're changing. That the Word of God is having an effect in you. Take heed to yourself and unto the teaching. Continue in them. For in doing this, you shall both save yourself and them that hear you. So spend time, so meditate, so pray, so seek him, that you're saving yourself from everything that comes from daily life and being transformed by that which is above and not being transformed by that which is on this earth. We live in desperate times, we live in dangerous times, we live in serious times. We live in days that could be last days in many ways. I'm obviously not going to finish, but that's no surprise. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house. So devout, so devoted. God in his life, so revered God, so honored God. For me, it creates a picture of this man whose eyes are singly on God and God's honor and God's glory and God's will. His whole household is affected, like oil flowing from him down his robe for his household, not the church, but his whole household, following in the wake of his devotion to God. And prayed to God always. Now, not an apostle, not Peter, not Paul, not Timothy, a man, centurion, who looked after about 100 soldiers, etc., etc., a big household, had a lot of responsibility, and he prayed to God always. I mean, I read that and I stop. Do you understand why I stop? He's had a vision, an angel, and he says, "What is it, Lord?" And he said unto him, "Your prayers and your alms are come up for a memorial before God." When I read that years ago, that hit me. Your prayers and your alms, your giving, have come up as a memorial before God. Would you like a testimony like that? I don't need anything more. Daniel, no time. Daniel, he read in Jeremiah 70 years. He didn't think, oh, God said it, God's going to do it. He fasted and prayed and sought the Lord. The angel comes to him, says, oh, man, greatly beloved of God. What a testimony. That's enough. That's enough. Take me home with that testimony, Lord. That's enough. I don't need ministry. I don't need recognition. I don't need anything. That testimony is enough for me. Not complaining. Not caught up with the affairs of this world. Daniel, he was the main principal governor of the whole kingdom. He was made so. And what consumed his heart? What burned like fire in him all the time? It was God's honor, God's will, God's kingdom. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. This was his lifestyle. This was the disposition of his heart. It wasn't a repetitive prayer. It was fire in him. He prayed concerning God's kingdom, God's will, God's people. Oh, man, rightly beloved of God. Zechariah goes into the temple. You know the story. People are standing outside praying. He's in the temple offering incense, prayer and incense, prayer and incense. And the angel comes. With Daniel, the angel came and stood by the altar of incense. I'm going to finish. I will just read verses that I... These are familiar verses with your, to you. In Revelation 5, the Lamb comes and takes the book that no one could open. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints, which are the prayers of the saints going up and offering. Going up. Prayer is the offering up of our lives. God sees, wants to see in our prayer life, lives themselves. Our prayers are to reflect the offering up of our lives to His will, to His glory, to His kingdom, to His purposes on this earth. And your prayers have come up as a memorial. Even before He answers, before God answers, there's something that God counts precious in heaven, valuable, significant. These are wonderful pictures. The angel that came to Daniel, he stood by the altar of incense. And then later in chapter 8, it tells us this, when the seventh trumpet sounds and God's judgment comes, the incense. And another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne, and the smoke of the incense which came up with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. Can you see this? An offering of a life through and in prayer. No further comment. Two other scriptures. The altar of incense. And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning when he dresses the lamps. He shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lights the lamps at evening, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. We will give ourselves to prayer continually, a perpetual incense before the Lord. An incense which God recognizes in heaven and works wonderfully on earth to fulfill his purposes. And you will know the previous chapter, Exodus 29, burnt offering, a whole burnt offering, in the morning a lamb, and in the evening a lamb. Morning and evening, perpetually, continually, a sweet aroma of the Lamb, a sweet aroma of Christ rising up to God in daily living. This is the purpose of God for you and me. And that's why David prays in Psalm 141, "Let my prayer be set forth before you as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." He brings both sacrifices together from Exodus 29 and Exodus 30. The lamb offered. God will prepare himself a lamb. He wants to prepare you and me to live as Christ on this earth. We are, to those that are being saved, to those who are perishing. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, the sweet aroma of Christ, referring back to Exodus chapter 29. The whole, all these verses point in one direction, to the letting go of everything else and having a fire within me that leads me to pray, to seek him, his kingdom, his will, his glory. We sang 30 years ago. I'll finish, I really will. We sang this. From prayer that asks that I may be sheltered from winds that beat on thee, from fearing when I should aspire, from faltering when I should climb higher, from silken self, O captain free, thy soldier who would follow thee, from subtle love of softening things, from easy choices, weakenings. Not thus are spirits fortified, not this way went the crucified, from all that dims thy Calvary, O Lamb of God, deliver me. Give me the love that leads the way, the faith that nothing can dismay, the hope no disappointments tire, the passion that will burn like fire. And we close by singing these words. Let me not sink to be a clod. Make me thy fuel, O flame of God. So this comes to me and says to me, David, after 30 years, clod or fire? And to what degree? Why must I feel it? Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you.